You guys, I love your Bloody Mary t-shirts.
Thank you.
Oh my God, thanks for noticing. I got it at this super cute shop called The Wicked Cat Clothing.
Tell me more.
Of course, it was founded by a girl named Stephanie Long, and she is just as into Halloween as we are.
Yeah, she loves all things spooky, paranormal, Halloween, cats, Boydston.
Yes.
And so she basically wanted to bring her love for all these things to others with her apparel and her clothing line.
There are so many cute options, and if you guys want to go check it out, you can get a 30% discount with the code THETIPSYGHOST30.
All one word, THETIPSYGHOST30.
Sign me up.
Yes, you can go to wickedcatclothing.com. Right now, my favorite shirt has a picture of a coffin with a reference that says, "Get in, loser."
You know I love Mean Girls.
Girl, my favorite. I do too. It's my favorite. So go to wickedcatclothing.com and you guys can find so many cool options there. Make sure to use our coupon code, THETIPSYGHOST30.
Hey guys, welcome back to The Tipsy Ghosts. We're your tipsy hosts, Sarah, and Lindsay.
Hey guys.
Hi. I have a question.
Oh, okay. Starting it out. Let's go.
Like it? Because if I don't, then we're just going to say hi for
True that.
Go on. Time. Yeah, sure. So, Michael, what is, do you guys have any guilty pleasures lately?
Ooh.
Lindsay.
I feel like you're dying to tell us something, so
tell us yours. What is your guilty pleasure, Boydston? We know you like weird stuff on YouTube.
I was trying to be conversational.
If it's drains.
No, I know. I know. What is your weird guilty pleasure now?
Well, this has backfired. I was just, thank you for asking, first of all. I really appreciate it. Oh,
you
were
really expecting an answer from us?
Yeah.
Okay. She wants an answer, but she also has something to share.
I wanted an answer, and I'd be like, oh, yeah, that's cool. But also, like, listen to me.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so let's listen to you first, and then we'll tell you ours. Yeah. I have to think about mine.
Okay. Don't judge me.
Too late.
Judged.
I, within the last 2 weeks, have gone through 5 seasons of Catfish.
I love Catfish.
I thought it was the stupidest thing until I actually...
I love it.
Here's what happened. They have a podcast, but their podcast is really just like the sound version of the show.
Oh, really?
And so I was listening to the first episode and I was like, well, wait, like I want to see this. And so I turned it on and I have not turned it off.
I love Catfish.
I fall asleep to it. I watch it while I'm getting ready. Oh my gosh. I watch it on my downtime. I mean, I am committed.
Is this on Netflix?
Hulu.
Hulu.
Okay, I can.
It was on MTV, so I watched it a couple years ago, and then mm-hmm. I don't know if they're still going. I saw the season after Max left, and I don't think I saw anything.
I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, well, Max leaves because he's like a director now. Like he does like movies. Sorry, that's not a spoiler. Again, this came out years ago.
it's still a spoiler.
Okay, sorry.
Yes, it's okay.
Anyway, so I just think it's fascinating how people can just pretend to be somebody else, and then I don't know. Like, part of me wants to feel like this show is staged, but then the other part's like, no, this is too awkward and awkward.
Can I tell you stuff about it?
No, don't do it.
Are you going to ruin it for me?
No, it's not spoilers.
Okay.
So the producers know. Like, they figure out before they start filming who the real person is.
I had an idea.
They have to get releases. They have to get all of that. Because you can't sure. just show someone on camera.
And also, like, people have to agree to be on it.
Right.
Yeah.
They have to agree to be on it. Max and Neve do not know anything. So they're actually doing the detective work. So they're just as surprised. But the producers know because, like you said, they're not going to start filming a show if the person isn't going to agree to be on camera.
Sure.
So they get permissions and all of that. And then they start filming. But they tell Max and Neve nothing. So Max and Neve know nothing.
Did you ever watch Catfish, the movie?
I have not seen the actual movie.
You have to. It's Neve's, like, beginning.
I know. I've heard about it.
So I watched that, I don't know, maybe last year. And then I enjoyed it, but I never wanted to watch Catfish, the TV show. Yeah. And here we are. I am in deep. I am obsessed.
I love reality TV. So, I mean, it didn't take much for me to get invested.
That's the thing, though. Like, I am not a fan. Unless it's Hell's Kitchen or something like that.
Gordon Ramsay.
And unless it's Gordon Ramsay, I do not like reality TV.
I love it.
I would rather be in, like, a true crime documentary than
I love that too,
anything. So, thank you for asking. That's my current guilty pleasure.
What's your guilty pleasure, Sarah?
I don't know if I'd call it like a guilty pleasure, but here lately, I started noticing on the TikTok that I liked a lot of these videos and silly songs by this comedian called Bo Burnham. So I fell down this rabbit hole and I was like, I just have to watch more. I just love it so much. The first one I saw, I was in my office by myself and I watched it for like 5 minutes straight over and over. And just like cried, laughed because I thought it was so funny. So I'm like, immediately I knew it was meant to be.
It was meant to be.
So yeah, I found where that song came from. Turns out it's from a, I think they just call it a special on Netflix.
Oh yeah, the comedian special stuff.
Yes. Yeah. So about that, he is a comedian, but in this special, it's a little bit different. It's a little darker, a little more offbeat comedy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like everybody, how everybody felt in 2020 and like specifically him and how we're all supposed to stay inside and how it impacts your mental health.
Just how bad
it was. And everything started really great. And it kind of turned out to be like this experiment with everybody being inside and how it really affected us. Anyways, I don't know how it was literally just him in the same room for the entire hour and a half. And
like no audience.
No audience.
Yeah.
And he did everything, right? He like directed it. He made all the music. He did all that crazy lighting. And when I say this, it's not like, you know, beautifully well done. It's like him holding a light and like shining it on himself.
Yeah.
And makes all this music.
Style, I get it.
Yeah. And he's like completely disheveled, you know. Anyways, like I was like watching it for the first, you know, 30 minutes. I'm like, this is really good. Halfway through, I'm like, this is pretty. I can't wait to watch the rest. By the end of it, I was like, what the hell did I just watch? And why was this like the most amazing thing? I loved it so much. I watched it again, like right after I was done. I watched it again. Like, and I couldn't wait to tell people about it. It was so good. It's called Inside by Bo Burnham. You should definitely check it out.
I'll check it out. It's on Netflix, right?
Yeah. But just know, like I mentioned, it's like definitely kind of an offbeat
humor.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The songs are too.
Have you come up with one yet?
So the only guilty pleasures I can think of are, I'm a reader. I've said that many, many times. Mm-hmm. And I've been reading lots of...
This doesn't sound offbeat.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I've been reading lots of young adult fiction, like teeny bopper books.
Okay, okay.
To the point that like I can read like one a day. One every 2 days. They're just fast, quick reads, and they're always happy endings. Me and I have two friends, and we talk about books pretty much nonstop. And she recommended a book to me, and it was like kind of happy, but like also had like a bunch of like tough stuff, and she had a tough childhood and stuff. And it didn't have like the ending didn't give me closure that I needed. It was like an open-ended ending, which I hate.
Yeah.
And I was like, she's like, she goes, Lindsay, not everything can be tied up in a pretty little bow. And I was like, I need the pretty little bow.
That's almost like, it's like satisfaction.
Yes.
Whatever.
Okay.
So like when you have the buildup.
I need the closure.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of books are not happy endings. I need happy endings, especially the past. This is how it's been since COVID.
Lindsay needs a happy ending.
I need happy endings in my books because of COVID. Pre-COVID, I could read depressing, sad books and be okay. I can't read true crime books right now. I need happiness in my reading life.
I find that interesting coming from the person who likes unsolved.
I know.
True crimes.
I know.
So, now you understand.
I do.
That's how I feel.
That's how I am with my books. I need closure in my books. Yeah. Like unsolved, I still love them because I like to spiral and think about what could have happened. But like my books, after I've been immersed in this world, in this fantasy, I need closure.
You'd be proud of me. I read 10 pages of a book in the last couple of days, and only because I had to, because my son forced me to.
Yeah.
Have you read Five Nights at Freddy's? It's a classic.
I have not, but I've heard of it.
I've watched people play the game.
He's obsessed with that.
Turns I feel out like that's a whole series of books. Scary for him.
It's like the big thing right now at that age group.
Freddy Fazbear.
Yeah, and when I tell you it took a whole different direction, it's like they were kind of scary on their own. And then there's like different levels of those characters.
Have you have him read Goosebumps?
No.
Those? Oh, he's watched all of them.
Have you played the game, Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yes, I have.
It's the jump scares. It's
terrifying. Yeah. Wait, there's a game? I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. It's like on your phone. You can download it. Anyhow.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we going to talk about tonight?
We are going to talk about a smorgasbord. So we get to talk about whatever we want, pretty much. People, places, things.
I was waiting for your song.
I don't really have a... my smorgasbord. Smorgy, 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 smorg.
There it is.
Smorgy, 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 smorg.
Oh, that was more than I remember.
I like to change it up every now and then. Just to keep people interested.
The remix.
Thank you. It's our smorgasbord.
Here it is.
Here it is. Okay, so we are going to spin that wheel, see who's going to go first.
Should we take this first? Are we the same
colors? No, we're going to do that after the first person.
It didn't have
after the first person?
Yes.
Here's my proof. I thought
we were taking two.
It didn't have a sound.
But then we have another person. So after the first and after the second.
Okay, all right.
It didn't have a sound, but it was me.
Oh, it's okay. Me and Sarah were arguing anyways. Sorry. Yay, Boyd said.
Oh, that was an argument? Okay.
No, it wasn't an argument. I'm so sorry.
It won't be removed.
I had a Sarah moment, though, this week. I had a dream that me and Sarah were very rude to Boydston. And she wouldn't talk to us. And I said, I'm so sorry for dream me. And it was a total Sarah thing to say.
Exactly. I'm rubbing off on you. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I was rude to you.
I really felt terrible. I woke up and I was like, gosh, I was a jerk to Boydston. I should apologize.
It really sounded like you were. I appreciate you apologizing.
Really, were we being very obnoxious?
Hey, how did I get looped in that? It was because your dream.
Me and you were both being annoying in my dream.
I apologize for nothing. I was not there. I didn't witness anything. And I'm strong.
Good job. We did not apologize. I'm proud of you.
I'm proud of you too.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Okay, I'm ready for your story.
I am too.
So we're going to start with the most compelling UFO sightings. According to history.com and culturalweekly.com, the American government has come out and they're about to release, at the end of June, their stance on UFOs. And essentially, here's what it is. It's they don't know what it is, but it presents no threat to national security.
Why are they coming out with a stance now?
Thank you for asking. Because during there is one of the stimulus bills, and this is how our government works. People throw in different things that they want when it has nothing to do with a stimulus package. And so this had to do with release of information for some classified documents, and it just happened to include UFOs.
Wow. That was a journey.
So our stimulus package let us know about the government's stance on UFOs, which I will admit is very, very vague.
Right, because it's just unidentified. Doesn't mean necessarily.
It is a thing. And finally, it's being admitted that at least the government is admitting that, like, UFOs are, like, we don't know what it is. There is no human explanation for what we've been seeing. And there's lots of different cases. Like, there's thousands and thousands of different cases. Mm-hmm. And so I just thought we would start with the most compelling sightings. Okay. Just a really, really short snippet of six different instances. And we're going to start. I didn't practice this, so I apologize to anybody in the UK. We're going to go to Rendlesham Forest.
Sounds right to me, sure.
Yeah, this happened about 100 miles from London in 1980. So strange lights were reported by the British Air Force, of all people, which, you know, people in offices like that, that makes it a little more compelling, especially in the Air Force where they're up in the sky a lot and they see or don't see things. And so if they're reporting this and publicly, I feel like that says something. So a laborer who went to the forest that night claimed to see a spaceship just lying there. And the next morning, the spaceship was vanished. But the trees were damaged and there were a lot higher radiation levels. So there were investigations, but ultimately the UK defense closed the case and said that it didn't pose a threat to the country, and that was that, which is similar to how America has taken a stance on UFOs. If it doesn't pose a threat to the country, then we're just done here.
We're not going to acknowledge it.
Yeah. So people still believe that it was a UFO, and there's now a monument trail in remembrance of the incident.
Okay.
Next is Stephenville, Texas. And this was in 2008, about 100 miles southwest of Dallas. Dozens of residents reported seeing white lights above Highway 67, estimated to be about a mile long and a half mile wide. So they were said to have been traveling about 3,000 miles per hour, and there was no sound associated. Like you would assume if there was a, you know, jets or airplanes in the sky, there was no sound.
Right.
The lights began in a horizontal arc and then moved to a vertical parallel line formation. So the U.S. Air Force came out weeks later, and they said that it was probably some F-16s that were flying in an operating area just south of Stephenville. However, most people didn't buy it, saying that what they saw was too technologically advanced to be man-made. And also, there were no sounds. And they said that they're used to these Air Force planes flying, and they're used to the sounds, but there were no sounds associated. Mm-hmm. So the next one's from New Jersey. And this is from July of 2001. So almost the entire highway between New York and New Jersey stopped to witness beautiful but strange yellow lights in the sky. They were V-shaped and unlike other man-made lights, which is a recurring theme. One witness was Lieutenant Dan.
That's really his name?
Lieutenant Daniel Tarrant.
Oh, okay.
And I like to call him Lieutenant Dan.
Yeah.
So. He got no legs.
he was from Carteret PD.
I love that part of the movie. Fun fact, Lindsay was not allowed to watch that movie until she was in her 20s.
Of course she weren't.
Because Lieutenant Dan had a dirty mouth, my mom said.
She's not wrong there. Yeah,
she also had no legs.
Oh, dear.
So with you and... Missing limbs.
I'm just citing the obvious.
She says it like she sees it. So apparently air traffic controllers didn't find anything, but there was an investigative group out of New York, and they found readings on their radar that they say matched those of a UFO. As in, it's not man-made.
Right.
Got it.
So we've discussed this next one before when I spoke about the Bermuda Triangle. Uh-huh. And it's an encounter with the USS Nimitz from 2004. So a part of the strike group from the carrier went after tracking objects that had appeared about 80,000 feet above the Pacific, just off the coast of San Diego. But something wasn't looking right, so they sent two jets to get a closer look. They witnessed an oval-shaped object under the water, and within minutes, a tic-tac-shaped object, quote, unquote, emerged from beneath the water. It didn't have any wings, it didn't have an engine or markings, and it was moving at three times the speed of sound, which is apparently very fast.
I was going to say, can you even catch that with your eyes?
Mm-hmm. You can, apparently.
So three times the speed of sound, that seems...
Apparently.
Too fast for my eyes to catch.
Next is...
is that your reaction? I thought... She just, like, jerked her head to the side.
That's how fast it is.
Sarah was there. She knows what three times the speed of sound. I can calculate
those things.
That and currency from the old times.
Old-timey currency calculations. Like.
She's got these random skills.
True that.
Was that on the ACT and the SAT?
She got a 42 on old-timey currency.
This is its own special section. If you qualify,
you need that to get into college.
Yeah, you had to test into that to test for it. Okay.
Next is from Chicago, and this happened at O'Hare International Airport in 2006. Flight number 446 was ready for takeoff when suddenly one of the employees on the plane saw a craft-like object hovering over the gate. And several people on the plane saw this as well. A few hours later, another saucer-shaped object was seen by many passengers and employees alike within the terminal. And it hovered for almost 5 minutes, after which it just shot up into the sky and made a large hole in the clouds.
Okay.
Finally, off the East Coast is the East Coast Go Fast video, which... I welcome you to Google after this.
Fast, like three times explanatory.
Similar.
Go fast.
Very similar. So this video shows an encounter between an F-A-18 Super Hornet and an oval unidentified object. Oh, nice. And this strange craft was identical to another that showed up off San Diego in 2004. And it was a fast-moving white sphere about 45 feet long without wings, an engine, or markings, again. And the pilots tried to chase it, but it flew off quickly while also rotating on its axis. And this is part of a series of videos that were released by the Department of Defense. Mm-hmm. And they made a statement and they said, very noncommittal, the aerial phenomena observed in the videos remains characterized as unidentified.
Sure. Okay. Got it.
So
it's an unidentified flying object.
Here's the thing. I just feel like anything man-made, they should be able to identify. And so if there's something that they can't, I'm concerned, like, what is it?
But also, how can they say it's not a threat if they don't know what it is?
Because Space Force is on it.
I feel like that's a big cover-up.
What are your thoughts that most of these are from the U.S.?
Well, if they are, then should they know what it is and not be unidentified?
These were from U.S. websites.
Oh, okay.
So I'm happy to get you
I was just wondering, like, what other cultures places. And what other stories think about stuff like this.
So I did see a story from Cambodia. It was someplace, I think it was in Africa. And it was school children. And they saw something in the sky and they freaked out. They thought it was the end of the world.
Yeah.
Like, they were sobbing and crying and, you know, running to their families, like, we've got to prepare. So it's throughout the world, and it's very well known that the pyramids were built by aliens. So, and it's in Egypt as well.
If you'll reference our Hoyabatu story, forest.
Do a story about the pyramids then? Because that is not well known to me. I thought that was built on the backs of slaves.
And also aliens.
Alien slaves?
No, not alien slaves.
It's going to get a little touchy here, but
yeah, maybe, Egyptian maybe human don't. Slaves.
It was assisted by aliens. How else would they get these tall things up there? There is a
theory, yes, that exists.
Have you seen all of the stuff the Egyptians built? They were way smarter than we are.
So we just backslid? That's why I think it was aliens.
I don't think we backslid.
Okay, you don't think so?
I'm ready. You guys are arguing, and I'm ready to go. All
right.
I've been holding it in my hand for 1 minute. All
right, we're doing a shot. Ready? What are we doing?
Red
rum?
Oh, yes, this is red rum.
No, I know we're doing a shot. Thank you very much. All right, ready? 1, 2, 3.
You know why? It's because you're trying to fucking deep throat that shot, Lindsay. You need to take a little bit at a time. Man, that's spicier than I expected.
Spicy. What is it? It's a blend of premium Caribbean rum, and natural tropical flavors.
Oh my God, my God.
Apparently Sarah's going next and I'm going last because Winston is not even spitting.
Some people are just close-minded, and that's not Sarah. So, hey, what are you talking about?
Okay, so we were lucky to be involved in a little bit of a partnership with Stephanie from Wicked Cat Clothing, and she sent us a shirt that is so super cute, and guess what it says on it?
I mean, I've seen that, so I feel like I can't say.
You can't say. I was playing along, cats.
Oh. You're playing along. You just think it says cats.
It says Bloody Mary three times. And it got me thinking, maybe we should talk about the legend of Bloody Mary.
I legit almost did this and then decided not to. I was like, I'll do that next week.
No, you won't.
I'm so glad.
You won't anymore.
Yeah, now I'm not. You took That's my idea.
Why I got a little bit nervous when you said, I'm doing urban legend. Yeah.
Well, I thought about when I was doing my paranormal for next week or whatever. I was like, this isn't really a paranormal. It's more of an urban legend. I'll do it for my next smorgasbord.
Yes.
So I was going to do Bloody Mary next.
Did you guys ever play Bloody Mary growing up?
I did.
I was in approximately the fourth grade.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds so young.
Specifically like
that's
fourth
grade. That's the same age that I played with the Ouija board.
Oh, my God. So many awakenings in fourth grade.
So many awakenings. I was in the sixth grade.
I was woke.
You really were.
AF. I was in the sixth grade at a sleepover, and we did the light as a feather, stiff as a board. Oh, yeah. You know?
They went hand in hand.
Yep, yep. We did that, and then we did Bloody Mary after that.
Bloody Mary? Yeah.
Bloody Mary.
This is going to come as a huge surprise, but I was always the one who wanted to play, and nobody else wanted to play.
Shocker.
I know.
Your friends were not into Bloody Mary.
I mean, they were, but they were like, we've done this before. They're like, let's Sarah, do it again.
We've already done Bloody Mary tonight. You're like, do it again.
I was always the one that wanted to do Ouija boards, light as a feather, and Bloody Mary.
It took you some years, but you found your people finally.
I know. I know. Thank you for accepting me for the most part. All right. So this is just a pretty quick story.
Okay. I love it. Let's hear it.
So as we all just kind of referenced, Bloody Mary is a legend of a ghost, a phantom, or spirit that's conjured to reveal the future in this definition.
Okay.
So it turns out there's a lot of like vague definitions about something like this. So I'm just
like, everybody does Bloody Mary differently. Yeah,
exactly. Yes. So she is said to appear in a mirror when her name is chanted repeatedly. Okay. The apparition of Bloody Mary can be either benign or malevolent. So, you know, pretty big difference there, depending
on whatever.
Depending on the variation of the legend. Her appearances are mostly witnessed in group participation play or, and I didn't know this part, by a man who is about to die. Rough. That is harsh.
Okay.
Here's a follow-up question.
I probably can't answer it, but...
Why would a man who's about to die prioritize playing Bloody Mary?
I don't know. Maybe he wanted to see his future.
He's about to die.
He doesn't know that, though. He finds out. So let me explain a little bit further. I do have an answer, I think, a little bit that might help.
Okay.
Apparently, the old ritual encourages young women to walk up a flight of stairs backwards, holding a candle in one hand and a mirror in the other hand. And while they gaze into the mirror, they're supposed to be able to catch a glimpse of their future husband's or wife's face. So maybe they're trying to figure out, who am I going to marry? Except for this is supposed to be a girl.
So. Should we try it? I've got...
I feel like I would fall.
I've got a Bath and Body Works candle and a hand mirror.
And walking dangerous. Backwards don't up get, the stairs. I feel like I will fall. You can do it,
but don't ask Lindsay. She will set your house on fire.
And also, we have all found our partners. So...
Still, I'd like to see the future in the mirror.
Oh.
I mean, I just want to see. Are you curious to see?
I thought you said it'll show you your future partner.
Well, according to this legend, yes.
Gotcha. You'll see whatever you want to see.
Basically.
I don't need to see my husband. I see him all the time.
So you can either catch your future husband's or wife's face, or there's a chance you'll see a skull or the face of the Grim Reaper instead.
Ooh, okay. Meaning like you're going to die.
Indicating that you're going to die before you have the chance to marry.
Called it.
Right.
Good job.
That's usually what that means. So nowadays, the legend kind of goes more like she'll appear to people who call her name while looking into a mirror. And not necessarily a handheld mirror.
That's what we did, yeah.
Right. And typically they chant her name repeatedly in a dimly lit room, most often the bathroom.
Uh-huh.
And they said her name must be said 13 times, but I thought it was 3.
I only did it 3.
And I think it depends also on how you were taught.
But I was also 12 and I didn't know.
Right. That's why it didn't work.
Oh, yeah. Here yeah, we nothing go. Happened to us when we did it.
Now we know.
But we only did it 3, yeah. 13 times seems like a lot. Okay. Did anything happen to you guys when you guys did Bloody Mary?
Well, I mean, I was like, I don't know, I was pretty little.
Right, same.
So I think I was just scared at the whole idea of it, and I didn't even know what I was looking for. I was just scared.
You didn't see your future?
I did not see a future. Oh, it all
did
makes
you
so
see
much
needles
sense.
And IVs?
There's so many angry people in the mirror. I don't know. Everybody's yelling at me.
I would have come up with a different future.
Right. If right. I would have known. Yeah.
Career change.
Fine.
If I knew then, what I know now.
Saw hospitals. I saw all these germs and COVID-19.
Oh, gosh. If only I knew then. It's fine. All right. So, again, as we just talked about, it all varies about, like, what you were taught.
Right.
How many times people repeat the names. But some people say that the person staring into the mirror may actually encounter an apparition screaming at them, cursing at them, strangling them, stealing their soul.
Mary.
drinking their blood.
Mary!
Or scratching their eyes out.
Mary!
I didn't have any of those experiences, but she sounds angry.
No, I mean, I never saw Mary.
No, I didn't have any of that. There were different variations of this story kind of told throughout many different cultures, so there's going to be lots of different takes on it. So who is Bloody Mary?
I don't know.
Turns out there's a few different opinions about who it might be. Probably the most common opinion is that it was Queen Mary, the first Queen of England.
Oh, okay. Queen Mary of the Mary Scots, Tudor, right.
Or that's a different one.
Okay. Dang it.
But yes, she's a different option.
Okay.
She's from Scotland.
Is that what Scots means?
This one's from England.
Listen, those shots are hitting me.
It's okay. Sure. All right. So Mary Tudor, or Queen Mary from England. Uh-huh. She earned the nickname Bloody Mary because in December 1554, she signed an act that would, and this is according to her, of course, unite the people under the true religion of the land.
Okay.
So this resulted in something called the Marian persecutions, which killed or which ended in approximately 240 men and 60 women. And they were sentenced as Protestants and burned at the stake. So basically she was named Bloody Mary because of all the people she killed.
Gotcha.
All right. So then there's also Mary, Queen of Scots.
Who's that?
So, interestingly enough, she actually didn't cause much bloodshed, but there just seemed to be a lot of that going on around her, so she was just associated with it. Her husband stabbed a man 56 times in front of her while she was pregnant, and she, later on in life, she was imprisoned for 19 years and started telling people about her escape plan, which resulted in her being beheaded. When the executioner tried to lift her head and yell, "Long live the queen," he accidentally only grabbed her red wig instead. And then her head fell to the ground.
Oh.
That's a big bummer.
Long live the queen indeed.
Aw. So many beheadings.
They were brutal back then.
Gosh. Another version is of Elizabeth Bathory, also known as the Queen of Blood. She lived during the
1500s.
I combined those words. She lived during the 1500s in Hungary.
Okay, gotcha.
Some say she is one of the inspirations behind Dracula.
Okay.
She was supposedly convicted for murdering hundreds of young girls so that she could bathe in their blood to remain youthful.
I've heard of that, yeah.
So apparently there were reports of cannibalism, beatings, stranglings, stabbings with needles, and lacerations from Elizabeth's own teeth. She's not a nice lady.
Jeez.
It's estimated that she killed more than 600 girls. And she's kind of noted to be one of the most prolific serial killers.
Yeah, 600 people is a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
I put initially, like, I would like to do an episode about her, so I still might.
Okay.
But that's just the brief episode. But honestly, I may look into it and find that that's all you get.
Okay.
All right. Last person I'll tell you about is somebody named Mary Worth. And Mary was alive during the 1860s. She was part of the Reverse Underground Railroad. It's a hard word for me. Basically, let me set up the scene. She's not a nice person. So she'd basically bring in slaves under false pretenses to send them back down to the South and make money.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's the worst.
And there were rumors floating around that she was a witch and she would actually torture and kill slaves for her rituals.
Jeez.
Yeah.
This Mary's the worst. Mary's suck.
Right. Yeah.
Instead of Karen, we need a Mary.
Well, now you know why Bloody Mary's very angry in the mirror.
Yes.
Whoever she is. Eventually, the townspeople just got sick of her bullshit, right? They were like, you're crazy. We don't like what you're doing. And so they killed her. It is believed that they hanged her on her land and then buried her somewhere. Yeah. So there's different tales on it if they buried her on her land or off her land. Doesn't really matter. They're very close to each other.
Yeah.
So fast forward 100 years. We're now in the 1960s and a new subdivision is built in the area. It happens to be in this area where she was buried. Construction workers found a stone that they thought was interesting because it had some markings on it. It may have been near where she was buried. Mm-hmm. So they removed it. And you can probably guess where this is going. But creepy and bad things started happening to the houses that were built on the land. And there was a house that was built on that property, and it burnt down twice.
Jeez.
And so, yeah, there was also some, like, poltergeist-type stuff activity going on. Okay. And people would say to watch out for Bloody Mary Worth. She'll scratch your face. Like, she probably will.
Like Barbara?
Like, oh, my God! Did I see Bloody Mary?
Oh, my gosh, maybe you did. Named her Barbara.
Barbara is Bloody Mary. Yes, you did.
There's something about Mary.
What would I have done if I was in my room in a fucking night terror? And in walks Barbara with like jizz bangs from something
about Mary. She's like, "Were you playing Bloody Mary in your bathroom
by myself?"
Yes.
Yeah, I love freaking myself out before I go to sleep. No, I didn't. I didn't do it that night, but we should play it tonight just to see how it goes.
Yes, let's do that in Boyson's house.
No.
No?
We'll do that at our next haunted location.
With a mirror. Yeah, it has to be at the mirror.
We'll go in the back. I don't want to go in the bathroom, though, because the bathroom is always our safe space.
Well, right? Spoiler alert, you need a mirror.
Let's find a mirror that there's not a bathroom. Okay.
Okay. So what do you think? Who is Bloody Mary?
I think she's just an urban legend that's been named after all the bad Marys in the world.
I can dig it. All right, finish up, and then we'll move on to TikTok.
Okay, are you guys ready?
Oh, we're ready.
Are you ready, Boydston?
We're ready to party. Ladies, gentlemen. No? She's singing Christina Aguilera.
I love it. Okay.
Nobody joined in.
This is what happens when I've done how many shots now and I'm the last person. I'm totally missing my mouth. Like, I can't even get out the microphone.
Five. You're missing your mouth. Five shots. You're not sleeping in the chair. So this is definitely a better alternative, I think, for us.
And this is my flip day. So I'm really tired, too. So we're going to talk about a cult.
I empathize. Empathize. with your flip day. But Sarah and I just worked all day today.
I did. I know.
Yeah.
But Wednesdays, and I told them this before, like, we started recording, like, Wednesdays I don't go anywhere because I'm dead. Mm-hmm. Like, it's my day when I get off at 7 a.m. and I have to sleep part of the day, but then I can't sleep all day because then I won't sleep tonight and I have to flip. And
listen, I'm just trying to forget that I actually worked today. I'm, like, pretending it didn't happen so that it's, like, a different time.
I get it.
Kicking myself.
Totally fine when I came here because I hit my second win, but now I'm, like, woo! Alcohol third is keeping me awake. Yeah. Okay. Ryan, talk about a cult.
Yay!
Because, fun fact, like, I am kind of obsessed with learning about cults through, like, true crime docs and all of that.
Oh, me too. I think I've watched every cult series there is out there.
It's so fascinating
to me. I completely agree.
They're documents, but yeah,
go ahead. Shut up. It's so fascinating to me.
I call them a series.
So I looked up some of the maybe, like, lesser known not documentaries, but lesser known cults, because I didn't want to do like the main ones that everybody knows about.
Okay. Vodkran.
So Heaven's Gate. Have you guys heard of Heaven's Gate?
Oh yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you say that was a lesser known one?
Damn it.
Okay. Literally, that's like the most popular one.
It
out
is
there.
A popular one, but I've
never heard of this.
Really? Shut up, you're so full.
Okay.
Of it. Yeah. All right. We're gonna talk about the founder first. So Marshall Applewhite
Mathers.
Jr.
Okay.
All right, so Marshall Applewhite, I'm going to be referring to him by his last name as
Applewhite. Marshall.
I'm going to be calling him Applewhite.
That'll work.
Mish.
All right. He founded this cult in 1972.
Okay.
All right, so Applewhite, he was born in Texas on May 17th, 1931, as the son of a Presbyterian minister.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Praise be.
This is going great.
May the Lord open.
The words on my paper. Okay.
Under his
swimming.
Eye.
Okay. He attended Corpus Christi High School and then Austin College. He got a BA, aka a Bachelor's of Arts.
He got a BAAA?
In philosophy?
laughing.
I know. We're, am I the only one who, when I got my bachelor's, I'm like, I'm a badass because I got my BA?
I didn't get a BA.
Oh, you guys got BSs, didn't you? Because we're
nurses. We're BS, yes.
I got a BA. All right. So he got his BA okay. in philosophy.
All right, I'm here.
All right, and then he went to seminary school to study theology because he wanted to become a minister like his dear old dad. All right.
Okay.
He ended up marrying Ann Pierce while he was in seminary school. They had two children. He decided to leave seminary because he was like, I want to study music.
That's hilarious.
That was really insightful of him.
I heard how stupid I sound already.
He thought, you know what?
Having to hold the paper.
You know what? I'm gonna go study music.
So he became the music director of a church. Okay, that's a good start. He moved to North Carolina.
Yeah,
represent. So in 1954, he was drafted to serve in the army overseas. He went to Austria, but then he moved to New Mexico when he came back. Left the military, and he got a master's degree in music. So he failed at becoming a professional singer. I guess that was his plan. Didn't work out. So he ended up going to teach at the University of Alabama. But he lost his job there after he pursued a sexual relationship with a male student.
Okay.
Can't do that.
Why not?
Oh, because he was a teacher.
Okay.
Are they consenting adults?
I mean, yes, but I think it's still frowned upon. Like, he didn't get, like, criminal charges pressed against him, but it's still frowned upon to be, like, a teacher engaging with a student. So, he was just fired from the job.
Okay.
So, he separated from his wife, obviously, because she found out about this, and they divorced. He moved to Houston and was, quote, briefly, openly gay.
Briefly. Okay.
I don't know what that means, but okay. Briefly. It means
he was briefly.
Just briefly.
Yeah.
It means for a short period of time.
Like, but at that time, he was also pursuing a relationship with a woman. So I'm not.
So he's bisexual.
That's what I it think is. That's yeah. what I'm getting. Okay. Yes.
And that's fine. Great.
Yeah. So he was teaching at another college at the University of St. Thomas, but again, resigned because of, quote, depression and emotional problems. But people speculated that this was, again, due to another affair between him and a student that was just kind of brushed under the rug.
Okay.
All right. So, 1972, he meets Bonnie Nettles, who is a nurse who is interested in theosophy, which is, it's a very complicated religion. I tried to condense it, but it's basically borrowing from Hinduism and Buddhism.
Like,
it's
okay.
multiple gods kind of things. It's kind of like Asian culture.
Okay. It is very brief, but yes,
very brief.
That's okay.
And also biblical prophecy. So, she was kind of involved in lots of different religions. Okay.
I'd say.
So they meet. He reports that he felt like he knew her forever and thinks they met in a past life.
Maybe they did. Kindred spirits.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Here's where things are going to get weird, okay? So Nettles told Applewhite that their meeting had been foretold to her by extraterrestrials.
Yes, it has.
Is guided this by is the for you, Boydson.
This cult has a lot to do with aliens.
Okay. I am in.
You're here? Okay. So he began to look into other religious philosophies, such as astrology.
It feels like you're supposed to be saying philosophy.
Is that what I said?
Philosophy. Philosophy.
Philosophies. No, 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 no.
You're trying to educate me on a new word.
No.
Philosophy is what
you're... He's looking into, like, astrology and Hang stuff on. With the stars.
Was that other word she said about what she was studying what wrong to?
No.
Philosophy is what you
Theosophy.
Were...
That's a real word?
Theo and then S-O-P-H-Y.
Okay, that's right, yeah.
But... So Theo is, like, the study of a god.
But philosophy is not right.
Philosophy. No, philosophy.
Oh, okay. That's right. Okay. Yeah. But that, so I thought maybe I was being taught a new word.
Shut up.
Serious. I didn't under. I well, I heard that right. first word.
That's very aggressive.
He's looking into other things besides just. Right, remember, he comes from like a Presbyterian background, so he's looking into other religions. So he starts having visions. One in which he believed that he was chosen for a role like Jesus.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to see you.
Yeah. Looking back, a lot of people have said, like, looking back now, they think he was probably having a psychotic break of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So Applewhite, he moves in with Nettles. Although they're not having a sexual relationship. It's totally platonic. He wanted, he said, a deep, loving, platonic relationship. So Nettles divorces her husband because, you know, she moves in with another man.
Sure, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
That is frowned upon.
Yes.
Get it.
Loses custody of her kids. At this point, he also breaks off contact with his ex-wife and his children. And says Nettles is his soulmate.
You know, I do a lot of things for aliens, but I don't think I would break off contacts with my loved ones.
Yes. Oh, it's just going to get weirder from here. Get ready, girlfriend. All right.
All right, girl. Let's do it. Let's do it, sister.
So they opened a bookstore, which at first I was like, yes, but now I'm not like, no.
I spoke too soon.
Yeah, no.
All right. It was called the Christian Arts Center, and they taught classes on different religions and mysticism, things like that. They also started traveling across the U.S. to explore their beliefs and got their first convert in May of 1974. So they talked about the life of St. Francis of Assisi, which I kind of love him, so I hate that he's involved in this. But they also focused on, like, they were picking and choosing parts from the Bible and parts from the New Testament about Christology, which is obviously, like, the study of Christ. And then, I'm going to butcher some of these names. I'm so sorry, guys. Asceticism, which is abstinence to pursue, like, a higher spiritualism. So, like, frugalness, the opposite of materialism. Obviously, abstinence from worldly pleasures like sex and love and things like that. Alcohol, all of that stuff. No, thank you. And eschatology?
Listen, Sarah and I don't know what you're talking about. I know. So
that's
it's fine.
Study of the end of the age.
Yeah, yeah. So, is this a new word?
This is study of the end of the age, the end of the world, when Christ's second coming is, all of this stuff. Ooh, apocalypse.
Nope, can't do that.
I know.
You know, like end of the world stuff?
That's just what that means. No, that's just what that means.
Me neither.
I will spiral in my brain.
I know you will.
I just can't do it.
I know.
That's how I feel about space.
I thought of you. So that's why I just said the end of the world. Okay. So they were focused on that stuff. Borrowing stuff from the Bible, but also like borrowing stuff from science fiction. Kind of combining the two.
Making up their own stuff, yeah.
Making up their own stuff. I mean, that's what a cult like, kind of is, isn't it?
Yeah. Alien Jesus.
Stuff. Yes. Like they were Jesus. Science fiction and aliens and UFOs, but also like Jesus. Yes. All right.
May the spaceship open.
Listen, somebody's been watching The Handmaid's Tale. Damn it.
The Handmaid's Table.
It's like the Lord's Supper, but not.
The Handmaid's Table, like the Last Supper, but with the alien Jesus.
Under his middle eye.
Handmaid Table is totally the title
of this episode. Handmaid Table.
Guys, I'm only on the first page. Alright.
The Handmaid Table and alien Jesus.
Anybody want to do another shot?
No, I am not eating another shot. Dear Lord. Alright, June 1974.
Oh, June, that's her name.
Oh. All right. They decide that this is what their religion is. So finally, Applewhite and Nettles are like, listen.
Which is what? I'm sorry.
I'm going to tell you what their religion is. Okay. These are the points.
Can you recap?
I'm distracted. This is their religion. Number one.
Okay.
They were chosen to fulfill biblical prophecies and had been given higher level minds than everyone else in the world. They wrote a pamphlet describing Jesus' reincarnation. As a Texan.
That's all it takes?
You know, I love a good pamphlet. That is all it
Jesus
takes.
Jesus was reincarnated as a Texan.
Oh my God.
Of course Texas people are going to be like, Jesus is reincarnated. And he's a Texan.
That's the one.
AKA they're referencing Applewhite, obviously.
Yeehaw, y'all.
All right. So in Revelation, and I'm going to try to be very brief about this. In Revelation, it talks about, in chapter 11, about two witnesses being on the earth. They are saying that they are these two witnesses who are God's prophets.
Okay. Sure.
Which, again, they were focused on end times, so they really borrowed a lot from Revelation.
Okay.
So they called themselves the Two or the UFO Two.
Oh, boy.
So they believed that they would be killed eventually and restored to life and transported onto a spaceship.
Yes.
Which was called the Demonstration. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this is all, again, that science fiction coming through. Mm-hmm. All right, so August 1974, Applewhite is arrested because he failed to return a rented car. Remember, they're traveling all throughout the U.S. He had a rented car. He never returned it. They arrest him. He was extradited back to St. Louis and jailed for 6 months while he was imprisoned. He said that he was divinely authorized to rent this car.
Are we in California?
You cannot arrest me.
I am authorized by divinely for this car.
Mainly in Jesus himself. Texas has given me the authority.
Excuse you. I have been divinely authorized.
By Texas Jesus.
I need to speak to your manager.
Texas Jesus said that I can do this.
I am Texas Jesus, okay?
All right. So he became even more fascinated at this point. Like, 6 months in jail, he's going to become even more fascinated with extraterrestrials, evolution, Jesus, like,
all the things Lindsay doesn't believe in.
I believe in Jesus. How do you?
The one. Sorry. Aliens.
Evolution.
Looking back now, a lot Science. Of experts have said that this is probably when his psychotic break was really getting bad.
Sorry.
I hate you guys. I believe in science.
It was a joke. My wheezing came through. Not.
It's because I don't believe in aliens. It's me and I don't believe in science. Don't make me sound like a Bible thumper.
It was a joke.
I mean, but
I do believe in Jesus, but I also believe in science.
That's okay. I'm happy healthcare. For you.
How can I not believe in science?
You can believe whatever you want to believe.
Okay. So
for alien Jesus. You can't
believe in that. I don't believe in alien Jesus. All right, so he was eventually released. Nettles and him begin to try to contact the extraterrestrials and finding followers. Listen, yep. I'm so sorry for you editing this. I'm sounding like an idiot.
No, you're not.
All right.
You say that when you're on your best.
They called their disciples. Great. Thank you. They called their disciples their crew. So I'm going to call them the crew.
Okay.
Like the J crew.
Like the J crew, like but back in the 70s.
Star Trek
is going to come into play later.
I know this Star cult Trek. Very well, I'm telling you.
All right. So they would have meetings. They would advertise that they were representatives from another planet.
Yes. From another mother planet.
This other planet was called the Next Level. So the Next Level was seeking participants for an experiment.
I volunteer.
Who is volunteering for this? This is literally my next line. And you say you volunteer.
I will.
Like, two people are like, hey, we're from another planet. We need participants for an experiment.
I'm not going to do it.
She's raising her hand.
Listen, as soon as you see this guy speak, you're going to be like, absolutely
he's
fucking not.
He's got the crazy eyes.
No, I've seen this.
Okay, he's got crazy eyes, dude.
He is a hard pass.
If it wasn't him, though, I would volunteer.
Right. I agree. I'd be into listening, at least.
So, if you agreed to participate in this experiment, Poydston,
yes,
you would be brought to a higher evolutionary level.
Oh, my God. That's what I've been striving for.
Immediate movement.
I haven't been able to reach it just yet, but...
So, him and Nettles, instead of going by their names right now, they're going by nicknames of Guinea and Pig.
Pig. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Nailed it.
Which I'm like, just like, come on!
Do they squeak really loud?
No, they Squeaks? Do not. So, then they also, they call themselves by lots of names. So, they also started calling themselves by Bo and Peep.
Mm-hmm. Jangle. Okay,
got because, it. What did you just say?
Jangles.
Bo Jangles.
Bo and Jangles.
Bo and Jingles.
No, because they're shepherds lead a flock.
Bo Peep.
Sure, sure, sure. Okay, okay.
But we're not sheep. Okay. Sorry, what?
Oh.
Ooh.
Okay. We are not.
Edit me out.
You're right. I don't want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. I don't want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba.
I said edit me out, and Lizzie's like, let me
praise
just expand
on
it.
My soul to keep. I don't want to be a sheep. Ba, ba, ba,
see,
ba.
I don't get it. Okay, but anyhow, proceed.
Okay. Sorry.
Proceed. I got distracted.
Crazy Christian song. Okay.
Yeah.
So they initially were calling their organization the Anonymous Sexaholics Celibate Church.
Wait, what?
You want to wrap your mind around that one?
So they're sexaholics, but they're celibate.
And you got to remain
That's
got
to be pretty frustrating.
So then they changed it to the Human Individual Metamorphosis.
These are a bunch of virgins that really want to have sex is what it comes down to, it sounds like.
Right, because he's preaching like no sex, no worldly pleasures, no alcohol, no drugs, like
But
nothing.
They're sexaholics.
Exactly. I'm like, what is this anonymous sexaholic?
They want to. They want to. They just can't.
I'm wondering if that's like how he was getting people.
That's creepy.
Yeah. I don't know. So Applewhite, he believed in the ancient astronaut hypothesis, which says that extraterrestrials have visited us here on Earth in the past and placed us, like placed aliens here on Earth and want to return to collect them.
Okay, well, okay. I mean, I can get down with that.
So I mean, this half of that. Very, very similarly has correlations with the election of Christ. So election is kind of, again, like, sorry, I'm going to be very brief. Election is kind of like God has chosen people to follow him. Mm-hmm. And then we'll obviously come back at the end of the age and bring them back to heaven. So it's like his Presbyterian background is kind of bleeding into this science fiction.
Yes.
He's kind of just combining the two.
He's making it up as he goes.
Yes, he's making it up as he goes. He really is. So he discussed aliens using phrases from Star Trek.
Of course he is.
And stated that they would communicate through him through this show.
Like phasers?
Uh-huh. And for those of you who are maybe not as familiar with mental health, this is very common with people who are delusional. They say the TV is communicating with them. Mm-hmm. So he's saying, Star Trek is communicating to me. All right. So in April 1975, him and Nettles, they travel to California to speak with a group of New Age believers because they're pretty similar with New Age, but also different. So they're like, we're going to try to get some people from them. So they persuaded about half of the attendees there to follow them. They would also visit college campuses, which to me is just like, these are vulnerable people who are looking for somewhere to belong. Yeah.
Acceptance. Yeah, I get
it. Young, trying to branch out on their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. So their biggest following occurred in Oregon in September of 1975, where 30 people left their homes to follow them, which got the media finally interested. It was pretty much negative media. They were mocked. They were accused of brainwashing, all this stuff. But finally, people are paying attention to them. So most of their crew was young, interested already in occultism, and lived outside of mainstream society anyways. So 1975, they have about 70 followers at this point, and Applewhite is preaching that complete separation from earthly desires was required for ascension to the next level, which is that other world. He would use verses from the Bible about Jesus forsaking worldly treasures to kind of justify this. So the crew was instructed to renounce all of their friends, all of their family, any media, any drugs, alcohol, jewelry, facial hair, and sexuality. So he also told them to adopt biblical names to show that they were his spiritual children. He told them to adopt two-syllable names, which ended in O-D-Y and had three consonants in the first syllable. So here's an example. R-K-K-O-D-Y.
Makes so much sense.
J-M-M-O-D-Y.
Jamodi.
Like, I'm like, this makes no sense.
Or Cody.
Like, or you Cody. Can't even pronounce this. Like, three consonants right off the bat and then ends in O-D-Y.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
You can if you tried.
Yeah.
I mean, Sarah and I were almost there. We were both biblical names. There were two syllables.
Lindsay's not a biblical name.
But then you had to add in the three consonants.
The consonants, and just, like, it just doesn't roll off the tongue.
Like, that just feels like a really, like a far reach for control. Come on.
Yes. Yes. So they had pretty much like a nomadic lifestyle. They would stay at remote campgrounds. They would obviously not engaging in the media or the outside world. They stopped having public meetings, really, and had little contact with their followers except communicating through writing or assistance. So they were like, we're above you. We're not going to communicate with you. Mm-hmm. Things like that. Okay. So Applewhite and Nettles, they start fearing that they're going to be assassinated. So they started calling themselves Doe and T.
Mm-hmm. That's how I remember them.
Raimi.
I don't know why Doe and T.
And T.
Why do they skip Ray and me? Don't understand it. Which really, even like from what I was reading, people were like, "This, these were meaningless names. Like they had no meaning. They didn't know why they chose these
alien names."
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So June 1976, they gathered their followers at Medicine Bow National Forest in Wyoming. And they said, the UFOs are going to come visit us. Mm-hmm. But the visit got canceled.
Weird. It didn't happen?
It didn't happen.
Oh, my God.
It was a sad day.
Aww.
All right. So from 1976 to 1979, the next 3 years, they live in campgrounds in the Rocky Mountains or in Texas. Like I said, kind of living that nomadic lifestyle. They isolated their members to the point that they were completely dependent upon them. So he told them to be like kids or be like pets and submit completely to me. Your only responsibility in life is to obey everything I say. But he was also giving them like free choice. Like,
sure he was.
It was total brainwashing. He was like making them so dependent upon them by isolating them, but also being like, you have total free choice, but like eliminating all of their other choices.
No, I feel like that's a total tactic.
Yeah, it totally is. Yeah. So despite all of this, he was described by his followers as fatherly and very laid back.
Mm-hmm. Well, they all are.
Yeah, which, again, keyword being described by his followers, who were all brainwashed by him. So they received a large sum of money in the late 1970s. They think this was like a member had gotten some inheritance from somebody. So they started renting houses instead of living this nomadic lifestyle. They would live in 2 to 3 houses. They would dictate all of the lives of their crew, of their disciples, like down to the minute. Total brainwashing and isolation. If you were not committed to this, you were encouraged to leave, but they would give you financial assistance to leave.
But
kind of weird.
But were you?
Right. Like, you leave, but like you're going like back to this world that you've had no contact with.
Yeah. You've probably been told for years that all these horrible things are going to happen.
You've cut off your family and friends.
You
have nobody left. Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, you can leave, but what are you going back to?
Totally free choice.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
That's what's so sad about cults.
Dough. Yeah.
So they tested the group. One night they told them that the extraterrestrials were coming, and they said, you need to wait outside all night, but nothing happened again. And then they said, when nothing happened, they're like, oh, that was just a test. Just kidding.
Just keep moving that goalpost.
All right. So 1980, they have about 80 followers. 1982, they start allowing their crew to call their families. They even allow them to visit their moms on Mother's Day. 1983, Nettles finds out that she has cancer. She has an eye removed. They didn't say what kind of cancer, but I'm assuming it's like brain tumor something. I don't know. It just says she had an eye removed for cancer.
Gotcha.
So she died 2 years later, 1985. Applewhite told her followers that she had traveled to the next level, so the other world.
Naturally.
Because she had too much energy to remain on Earth with them. And he obviously became very depressed. This was his soulmate. This was his person. He claimed that she continued to communicate with him, and he had a ceremony in which he symbolically married his followers to unite them all together.
Okay.
This is all still very celibate. There's still no sex going on here. Right. So he married them, but I'm not sure really what that meant.
We're just friends, though. Don't take it the wrong way.
Right. He then started referring to Nettles as the father, and said that she had a higher spiritual role than him. So again, kind of like leading towards that Presbyterian Christian background of calling her the father. So he gets a little bit crazier and more paranoid during this time because he's obviously struggling with depression, missing her. He tells the crew that the only way for them to be saved is a relationship with him, encouraging them to see him as Christ. So instead of freedom to choose, he started telling them what to do. And it kind of becomes more like a religion based on authority versus like the science fiction part that they had focused on before. So previously he had told them all that ascension to the next world would be physical, but then Nettles died and her body was still left.
Right. So, again, move that goalpost.
Right. So he said, just kidding. It's like a spiritual ascension.
Yeah. So we got to deal with the body. But right. So the spirit's going to go.
Your body's still going to be here, but your spirit's still going to go.
Turns out we just got to change this a little bit. It's fine.
Here's alien Jesus. He believed that. He believed.
Alien Jesus?
Jesus. He believed Jesus was an extraterrestrial. Alien Jesus. All right.
He believed he was an alien.
Jesus was an extraterrestrial, and that he was transported onto a spaceship after he rose from the dead, which is how we will all die. When we die, we are transported onto a spaceship.
So hear me out. What if? What if?
Yes, ma'am.
Heaven.
Okay.
Is a metaphor, or spaceship is a metaphor for heaven?
No.
It depends on how you look at it. If you believe in alien Jesus, then that makes sense.
I think he's honestly just combining Christianity with science fiction.
I think he just put a whole bunch of things together.
Yes. Well, here's the thing, though. Aliens are not necessarily fiction.
Right.
True.
I mean, he's saying when we die, we are going to go on a spaceship to the next world. Which is, again, similar to when we
die. The next level.
If you look at Christianity, when we die, we leave our physical body here. Our spiritual body goes to heaven. Science fiction, he's incorporating that with, we're going to go on a spaceship and leave our physical body behind and go to
the next level. We're going to take our physical and spiritual body. And then he realized, oh crap,
the body is still here. Her body's rotting. God,
what do I do? Yes. I got to change my plan.
And people were questioning it. So,
I mean, as they should.
He's making it up as he goes, I think, honestly.
Yep.
All right.
Never hit the nail on the head with that one.
So he said that we can go to the next level, which is the next world, every 2 millennia. So he said Jesus did it 2,000 some years ago, so we can do it now. Because this was like, he was saying that this is the 1980s, but he's saying like 1990, 2000 is when we'll be able to go to the next level.
Okay. Y2K. I was there.
Y2K, we were all there. All right.
Yep, I was there.
He said that Lucifer.
Everything turned out okay.
We're bringing in Lucifer.
Oh boy, here we go.
He said Lucifer was brainwashing humans and were evil extraterrestrials.
Is that like a Klingon?
Called Luciferians.
Okay, there we are. I'm like, this sounds Luciferians. Way too biblical for him. Okay.
Who are trying to upset his mission.
Oh, naturally.
All right, so late 1980s now, few people knew the group was still in existence because they're keeping a pretty low profile at this point. But then 1992, they just pop out of nowhere. They broadcast a 12-part video series via satellite, which included all of their teachings. I'm sorry, I totally mentioned that. Can I say that again? Okay.
No, I'm going to keep it in. So,
Viria. In 1992, they broadcast a 12-part video series via satellite, which included all their teachings.
That was nice, but I'm going to keep that first one in.
You're such a jerk.
A what?
A jerk.
What?
I'm shocked. All right. So over their entire existence, because this is obviously spanning several years, several hundred people are joining, they're leaving, they're joining, they're leaving, whatever.
Yeah, gotcha.
So at this point, early 1990s, when they broadcast this series via satellite, they have about 26.
I keep saying Viria.
Did you write Viria? No, I tried very hard to talk.
I tried Viria hard.
I've been trying very hard to talk.
Twice in the last.
It's difficult. Viria. This is what happens when I take shots and then you guys make me go last.
I love it when we take shots. Okay. It's better. It's all better. Right. And this is the new plan. This
so they only have about 26 members at this point. So they're dwindling.
Oh, yeah. People are over it.
So then they publish. The crew. The crew is over it. They don't care.
Star Trek crew.
They publish a full page advertisement in USA Today.
Okay.
That's all a big time there.
That's a reach, sure.
Yeah. That warned of the judgment coming to Earth, and they got more members from there. Okay. So at this point, Applewhite, he begins to speak of suicide as a way to reach the next level, explaining that everything human had to be forsaken, which was on track with what he's been saying, but he's saying even your body has to be forsaken, aka suicide. So at this point, they call themselves Heaven's Gate. This is what we know them as. All right, so June to October 1995, they're living in New Mexico. They bought 40 acres. They were planning to build a compound, but at this point, his health is deteriorating, so they end up abandoning this plan because he's just not doing well. So they, Applewhite and seven others, decide, hey, we're abstinent. We're abandoning our worldly pleasures. Let's surgically castrate ourselves to suppress their sexual desire. They could not find a willing surgeon in America, but they went to Mexico, and a Mexican surgeon castrated them. So
they couldn't find a surgeon here because there was no medical reason for them to have it done.
And this is in the 90s. This wasn't that long ago.
Elective thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Where you're not just going to find like, because you're in a cult. So next, he was preaching that next level beings had no reproductive organs and sexuality binds us to our human forms and makes us human.
Right. Okay.
So October 1996, we're getting here near to the end. So they rent a mansion in Rancho Santa Fe, California. They record 2 video messages offering viewers a last chance to evacuate Earth before the spaceship comes.
God, get off our stat! What are you supposed to do?
I don't know. At this point, they learn of the comet. I'm probably going to mispronounce this. Halley-Bopp?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely correct. Good job.
Yes. Yeah. It comes like every 75 years or something? Okay.
Yeah.
100 years, maybe?
Not often.
It doesn't come often, yeah. So it's coming. So he believes
that was also on Hey Arnold.
Yes.
Oh, I would know that if
and
I
remember
it.
This from like the 90s too. I remember the Halley Comet coming in the 90s. So he believed that Nettles was aboard a spaceship.
P.S. I was around. Just, I mean, I don't need to be excluded from the Halley's Comet.
We were all around in the 90s. So he believed Nettles was aboard a spaceship trailing the comet and was coming back for them.
Just riding on a star.
She's just riding on that comet. She's like, hey y'all, everybody. I'm coming.
Yeehaw. Alien Jesus from Texas. Lassoing up a star for you.
On a comet.
On a
that
comet.
Comes every 75 to 100 years. We're not sure.
Come to pick you up.
You have a really good Texan accent.
Thank you. Alien Jesus.
All right. So March 1997, the group isolates themselves. They record all of their farewell statements. Many followers praised Applewhite, actually, in their farewell statements. So he said, this is the final exit. He said, quote, we do, in all honesty, hate this world. End quote. All right. March 22nd is when the suicides began. So most members took barbiturates and alcohol, and they placed bags over their heads and suffocated themselves, which, gosh, that's gotta be, like, the worst way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Suffocation. Ugh. They wore Nike shoes and black uniforms with patches that read, Heaven's Gate Away Team. Mm-hmm. So the suicides started March 22nd. They lasted for 3 days. Applewhite was one of the last four to die. Three assistants helped him commit suicide, and then they killed themselves afterwards.
Yeah, because he wasn't going to go by himself.
No. Mm-mm. He wasn't going to be the last one to go either.
He needed somebody to help him with that. Right.
So an anonymous tip was called into the police. They searched the mansion and found 39 bodies on March 26th. March 26, 1997. It was the largest group suicide involving U.S. citizens since the 1978 Jonestown mass suicide, which that was 913.
Which wasn't in the United States.
Right. Was not in the U.S., but had U.S. citizens.
Correct.
Right. So Applewhite's body was found seated on the bed of the master bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Many people believe that they killed themselves because he basically just isolated them so well from the outside world. And his health was deteriorating. He knew he was dying. And he cultivated this attitude of complete and total dependence and obedience in him. And so they were like, without him, we have nothing. Mm-hmm. And they knew he was dying.
Sounds a lot like a cult.
Yeah. So many of the dead that they found had been members for over 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
And basically at that point, they knew nothing else.
Yeah.
Outside of him.
Yeah.
So it's just really sad.
Very.
That he just created this cult out of Christianity, out of science fiction, borrowing from all these other religions, and then made them so dependent on upon him that when he knew he was dying, he just convinced them all to kill themselves as well.
I think the most messed up thing that I remember when I watched that documentary about the document about that.
Shut up.
Thank you. Thank you. Was that they did it in like phases. Like you mentioned,
yes,
it was over
three days.
So like they, I don't know how they determined who went first, but then the next group was responsible for a certain set of things. Like they had to make sure that they were dead and then that everything was set up for the next group. And then they went and did their thing. And then the third group was responsible for that. Like, what if you're in the third group and you're like, you know what?
I changed my mind.
I don't think this is a good idea.
Right.
Well, that's awful.
I've thought of that too, like with any cult, like with Jonestown, which is very, very famous.
But they really didn't get a choice, I feel like. I think that was a little bit different because they were just like,
you see people dying around you and you're like, are you
they were just given the drink and I don't think they knew half the time what was going on. Like, yes, they were involved in the cult, but it was a little bit different.
And also he had a gun.
Yeah.
It was different.
Yeah.
Right.
But this guy
was
Applewhite.
Totally by choice.
He had, like I said, most of the members had been followers for 20 plus years. Yeah. So they didn't have family or friends anymore. I mean, well, you imagine, you don't talk to anybody else for 20 years.
I watched some of the interviews with the family, and they would like call days before.
Yeah. Some of them were new members. Some were new.
No, I totally get it. I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Like they're, it's once that's your life, you're so engulfed in it. Right. That like there is no normal they for honestly, you anymore.
And that's what a lot of people looking back now have said who have studied him and studied his cult, that they're like, they just knew nothing else outside of him.
Yeah.
And so when they knew that he was going to die, they were like, what else do we have in this world?
But isn't it interesting when you see him talking, like, he has the definition of crazy eyes.
He is. Boydson, have you ever seen him? Like, yeah. A picture of him?
I watched, I think, the same documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's crazy eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. On HBO, they have a series called Cults. And I fucking loved it. I binged it all in a day.
I love learning about cults.
Oh, yes. I do, too. I've watched, I think, every documentary out there in existence. So if you find more, let me know. I love them.
I just thought it would be something different to do. I know we've kind of touched on cults in the past, but I just find it so fascinating how people are so charismatic and so able to just completely
draw people in,
mm-hmm. brainwash them, and just, I mean, in unfortunate situations like this and with Jonestown, just convince them to even like give their lives.
Right. Well, I think for this cult, like the basis of it, you give up your normal, your normalcy to follow something different, follow a charismatic leader.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. It's just mind blowing to me. And so I think it's fascinating. So I just wanted to do a little subject about the cults.
You did a great job.
Thank you. You
did excellent.
I really tried.
Thoroughly done.
I don't know if thorough was the right word, but I tried.
It was extremely thorough. I think you did great.
I mean, like you said, there's been documentaries about it. There's books about it. I mean, it's me trying to condense this decades-long cult into 30 minutes.
And you did great. I mean,
thank you.
It is a lot of information, but I think
it's a lot of information I tried to condense. And I know, like, not everybody's familiar with Christianity, maybe, so I tried to condense that too.
Yeah.
But basically, he was combining science fiction and aliens with Christianity.
But if you guys get the chance, like, go find any documentary, really, about Heaven's Gate, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about, because you can just see it in his eyes. That guy is wild.
Yeah.
Right.
And all these people who have studied him and studied his cult and everything, like, in recent years now, are like, he was suffering from delusion disorder. He was probably having a psychotic break. Like, this really is not normal. Yeah.
Sad. He didn't get the help he needed right away.
Right.
And then so much of this loss could have probably been avoided, question mark? I don't know.
Could have been.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Anyways.
That's my story, though, guys.
Well done.
Thank you. Thanks so much, guys, for tuning into our smorgasbord episode this week. You can always catch us at thetipsyghost.com and find all of our socials from there. Or you can email us at thetipsyghost@gmail.com. We would love to hear your stories.
Please give us a 5-star rating and a great review anywhere you listen. We would greatly appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks so much, guys, for tuning in this week. We will catch you guys next week.
Okay, bye.
Bye.